Bring Christian greetings to each one in our Savior's name this morning. Privileged to be here. I find myself to be human, so I'm... But I am glad to be able to be here with you and share from God's Word, share what God has laid on our hearts, encouraged with the Sunday school lesson. We studied there from Luke about those people that were casting their money in, they were giving. And I guess one of the thoughts that was impressed on me that God's limitations aren't the same as ours. Had to wonder how far we can take that. We all don't have the same amount of money. But there's something we all have, and that's time. And oftentimes, God asks us to give that. And that's not something you can throw. You can't throw it into the offering, time. But we all have time, and that's something God wants us to give of as well. And there again, His limitations aren't the same as ours. I'll let you just ponder that. Well, I'd like to talk this morning about something that has been going on with all of you already here today. And I'd like to talk about thoughts. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We all have thoughts this morning. We're all using our minds, those of us that can speak, that can think. And if the speaker pauses a little bit, your mind normally keeps going. And you think about something. Maybe you're thinking you were wishing you were somewhere else, or that I was somewhere else, or that someone else was here, or whatever you're thinking. Maybe you're thinking about the meal at home, or having seen some pollen flying. All of us think about something. But the Bible tells us to keep our heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. Thought about that song, "There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God." God has a heart and He has thoughts. I'd like to read a few verses from Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 talking about God creating man. Genesis chapter 1 beginning at verse 26. "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Pardon me. "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, which is the fruit of a tree, pardon me, yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, when there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I read this passage to help us understand that God created us in His image. And after He was done, He said, "It's very good." Is this for me? I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. I'd like to use this verse several times. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We think about the fact that God made us with a mind. And God wants us to control that mind. And in this verse here in 2 Corinthians, He says we should bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We all battle with thoughts. Some good or some aren't so good. Most of us enjoy some time to think. Some people, they want to fill their mind with something. They need something playing, they need something going all the time so that their mind doesn't have time to just ponder. But I find that I need to be careful what I think about. The verse from Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Our heart is the center of our thoughts and emotions. It's where they're stored and come from. If God doesn't have control of our thoughts this morning, does He actually have control of our life? Does He have all of us? We talk about what we think about. Now, someone was kind enough to put this cup of water up here this morning, and I saw it and needed a little bit. But you know, when I took a drink, what do you think I got? Young Hirsch lad, I don't know what your name is. What do you think I got when I tipped it up?
You got water.
That's right. I got water. Do you know why? Because somebody put water in here. I didn't get orange juice. I didn't get milk. I didn't get tomato soup. I didn't get anything like that. I got water. Because that's what was put in here. Our minds are the same way. If we allow God's Word in our heart, if we allow good things we think about, we concentrate, when our mouth opens up and words come out, it will be entirely different than if we're reading stories we shouldn't be reading. And if we're thinking about things in life that are bad, and we concentrate on them, and then we open up our mouth and we expect out of that is going to come something good. Now I recognize that it happens sometimes. You know, you're having a little dispute with someone and working through this thing, and the phone rings, and you answer the phone, "Hello." You know, you can make something else come out of your mouth than what you're thinking about sometimes. You can sound so sweet, so lovely, and that's not really what's going on in there. But usually, spur of the moment, you know, maybe your hammer slips and you hit your thumb. Maybe you cut yourself when you're fixing the food. What comes out? Spur of the moment. What comes out? And it's usually what's in there already. The Bible tells us that we should think about things above and not things on the earth. When we need advice, do we take it from God's Word? The psalmist says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." If we hide God's Word in our heart, if that's what we think about, if that's what we ponder, we spend our time thinking about that, it will help us to keep from sinning so we don't sin against God. Matthew 15, verse 19, Jesus said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts." How do we keep our heart? By nature, our heart is sinful. That comes naturally. Jeremiah 17, 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" That's the direction our hearts are prone to go. Our thoughts. What are emotions? If I was to ask you what your emotions are this morning, what would you say? Where are your emotions stored? Where do they come from? Well, emotions build on emotions. If we see someone else with a fault, say, "You know what, brother, sister, you have a fault. I see something I don't like about you. I want you to change that." And I come and I tell you, I unload my heavy load of what I have on you. Well, most of the time, now you have a heavy load and you have some emotions that got stirred up. And you see some things in me that you don't like so well. And the reason I say that is not to try to get you to think about other people and what you wish they would do different, but to recognize that we affect others. And the way I come across is going to make a difference of how you come across. Oftentimes that's the way it is. And yes, the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. But if we can have the right attitude, if I need to go and talk to somebody and I can have the right attitude, it will help them so they can have the right attitude. If I come with a bad attitude and you have a bad attitude, and then I have another bad attitude, and you have another bad attitude, it goes round and round and round. Well, what do we think about when we're alone? Do we talk over our problems with God? Or do we carry on mental conversations with others that aren't there? What do we think about? Can we help it if thoughts come into our minds? What do you think? Can you help it if thoughts come into your mind? I mean, you're just going along through life and all of a sudden you have thoughts come into your mind. What can you do about it? Well, we'd like to look at some of that a little bit as well. A lot of our thoughts come from things that we have allowed to come into our minds. They build up with time and they stay hidden. And maybe they come out when we least expect them to. And that affects our thoughts. The things that we listen to, things we read, our associations, opinions, our friends, it affects our thoughts. Where is our focus? If our focus is on loving God from our hearts, then we won't have as much problem to change our thoughts if they're wrong. We need to have God's input into our heart, into our thoughts. What can we do if we have thoughts that aren't good? What if we struggle with that? We struggle with thinking about others. We struggle with thinking about things we shouldn't think about. What can we do to help that? Well, one thing is we can do, we can ask God to help us. I think that it's not supposed to be a pat answer. But that's one thing we can do is ask God to help us. We need to want to change that. Want to have God change it. Sometimes the concerns, we'll use the word concern because that's more acceptable, right, than worry. The concerns in life that we have are based on real struggles and problems. You know, whether we can pay the bills, whether, you know, something is a failure, whether we're needing to do something and we aren't quite making it to the mark. Whether maybe someone in our family is sick, or maybe we know someone that's very close to us that has gone down the wrong path. Or maybe we're sick. You know, those things can be troubling to us. We can think about them. They're based on real life. There's a quote, one of the new things people began to find out in the last century was that thoughts are as good for one as sunlight or as bad for one as poison. To let a sad thought or a bad thought get into your mind is as dangerous as letting a scarlet fever germ into your body. If you let it stay there after it has got in, you may never get it out so long as you live. I've known of people who have worked around others that had foul language, that had a problem with swearing, that had a problem with saying things they shouldn't. And they never even knew that they were thinking about that, that that had affected them. But one day, something happened suddenly, and some of those words popped out. Some of the things they had heard someone else say that they knew were wrong. Our thoughts are stored. And sometimes those thoughts come out when we least expect them to. Thoughts are not deeds, but they lead to them. Some say thoughts are unborn deeds. The court of law here on earth does not judge us by our thoughts, but by our deeds. Sometimes we wish we could judge others by their thoughts, don't we? We had a landlord for years that used to race greyhounds. And one time there was several years in a row where all of a sudden he started winning races with his dogs. And the judge noticed that and they said, "What have you been doing? Have you been giving your dogs drugs? Have you been doing something illegal?" And the man said, "No, I haven't." And the judge was trying to figure this out. And he said, "Well, have you ever thought about doing something like that?" And the man said, "If you're going to judge me by everything I've ever thought of, we're in trouble." Well, aren't we glad that our laws do not judge us by our thoughts? But you know what? God expects us to be careful with our thoughts. He says to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a higher calling, is it not, for us as Christians? We need to be careful what thoughts we cultivate because they do lead to deeds. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. In Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. We all have times in life where we have bad things happen to us. And probably varying degrees with different people. A lot of you have went through difficult times. Whether it's losing a loved one, whether it's health, whether it's a lot of different things. A lot of us have been through difficult times. And I tell you this not because I have it perfected. But if we sit and think about the difficult things that have happened to us, and we sit and we think about that, what happens after a while? Does anybody know? Anybody ever experienced that? You know what happens? I can tell you. You become discouraged. You get feeling pretty down. And I would like to offer you something that I have seen other people do. And I think others are better at it than I am. But if you can look at the blessings that God has given you, the things that you're thankful for, maybe instead of looking at the losses, look at the blessings that they were given to you in the first place. And if you can think about those things, you know what? God has given me this. God has blessed me with family. God has blessed me with friends. God has blessed me with food. There's lots of things we can think about that God has blessed us with. And if we can concentrate on those in our mind, and I knew a young girl that she had a little notebook. And she was writing in there all the things she was thankful for. And there was another lady that saw that. But I think that girl was up in well over 1,000 things she had written down. But maybe that's something we could do to help us think on good things. Things that are lovely, things that are pure, things that are honest, good report. Think on those things. When we teach our children in school, we try to teach them to think, to corral their thoughts. Now, I haven't been to your school, while it's in session here. But I suspect that the teachers have the same problems that we used to have in school. Because we had windows and we could look outside. And sometimes you'd see the students there, you know, they'd be looking out the window and there wasn't much going on their desk. But we need to learn to corral our thoughts. Think about the things we should be thinking about. We also need to listen to God's Spirit. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It's not enough just to think. Think that, you know what, I'm standing. Think that I'm strong. We need to be careful that we don't fall because our thoughts don't necessarily mean that we have accomplished the goal. It's possible to think things that aren't true. Have we ever done that? Even in Bible times, God's people sometimes had a problem with that. You remember the story of Hannah coming to the temple to pray? She was praying and praying for a child. And Eli saw her. That was when Samuel's mother was there. Eli thought she was drunk the way she was acting. She says, "Oh no, I'm not drunk. I'm just praying to God. I'm praying so earnestly." And Eli said, "Well, may God grant your petition." And Samuel was a result of that. We can even, in life, reality of it, we can do good deeds and struggle with bad thoughts. Did you know you can do that? You can do something good, but you can still struggle with bad thoughts. You know, you can go help your neighbor. Your neighbor needs help. You go help and you think, why didn't they take a little better care of this? Why didn't, you know, if they would have just worked a little harder, they could have done this. I wouldn't have had to come do it. You can get a little resentment build up in your mind. So we need to be careful. Even if our life looks good, even if everybody else thinks we're doing good, we need to be careful that we don't have a bad attitude, bad thoughts. Well, again, what do we do if our thoughts and worries come from real problems? We need to let God control our thoughts. We need to bring our thoughts into captivity. I was impressed from Genesis. Genesis 6, verse 5, you remember when God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God saw that the imagination of the thoughts of the men's heart was evil. The things that they were imagining wasn't real. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But on the reverse side, David told Solomon to serve the Lord with a perfect heart. 1 Chronicles 28:9. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." And he goes on in Chapter 29, talking to God. "And I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. Now have I seen with joy the people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their hearts unto thee, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep the commandments, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build a palace for which I have made provision." David praying to God, because he recognized that God could see people's thoughts. He could see even the imagination of their thoughts. And he asked God to keep the people's hearts. Once again, the verse from 2 Corinthians 10:5. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Paul didn't say, "Don't think." He said, "Take our thoughts captive. Get a hold of them." How do you get a hold of a thought? Well, a little example. Some of you probably have birds. I don't know if any of you have birds or not in a cage. But if you have a little bird in a cage and you see that it's a beautiful little bird, and you don't feed it, One day you don't feed it. The next day the bird's looking a little peaked. And you don't feed it again that day. Well, after several days, you know what happens to that little bird? What do you think happens? Well, you boys, what happens if you don't feed a bird for about 4 days? It dies. You know there's something about that that's true of our thoughts as well. If you have a thought that you know you shouldn't have, and you don't feed that thought, and you starve it, and you starve it, it doesn't stay living very well. But if you have a thought that's wrong, and you know it's wrong, and you keep thinking about it, and you keep feeding it, and you keep feeding it, it's not going to die. If the wrong thoughts get out of control, they become destructive. Not only to you, but to your friends, your acquaintances, maybe on the job. Thoughts can make bitterness, resentment, selfishness, anger. If we let our thoughts run out of control, they can cause unforgiveness and sin. There's a story I'd like to tell you about a salesman. Maybe some of you have heard this from, I couldn't find it, but I'll give it best I remember it. But this salesman found himself getting home late one night, and it was a cold, rainy, stormy night. And on his way home, all of a sudden, he got a flat tire. And he pulled over off the side of the road, and he was going to change the tire. It was raining, and he was upset. But he went to look for his jack and his lug wrench, and lo and behold, he didn't have a lug wrench to take his tire off. He was getting more upset by the minute, and looking around, he saw the lights of a farmhouse not too far away. And he was in a bad mood. And he was thinking about, you know, it was late at night, and what's this farmer going to say when he shows up? And farmer probably doesn't want to come out and help him anyway. And he was thinking on and on and on. So he walked to the farmhouse. He was thinking, you know what? This guy's not going to want to help me. I'm a stranger. I'm out here. And the farmer opened the door at his knock. He said, yeah, can I help you? He said, you know what? I don't want your lug wrench. If it's the last one in the world, I don't want it. And he walked off. The farmer hadn't even said anything. But he was just responding to his thoughts. I ask you something. Is that the way we treat God? I had to think about that with our Sunday school lesson. Sometimes we get bound up with our thoughts about life. And you know, it makes sense to us because we're thinking about the struggles we're struggling with. And we come to God and we don't even give Him a chance. Or maybe we act that way with our neighbors, our friends, our family. Well, some things that help us control our thoughts. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God will help us. Memorize the Word of God. Keep it in our heart. That will help our thoughts. If we think about it, we recite in our mind Bible verses. It will help to fill our mind and our thoughts. sing songs, praise God, pray and thank God for blessings. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, verse 2, Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God sees our thoughts from a long ways off. Isaiah 26, verse 3, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusteth in Thee. Trust in God. Ask God to search our hearts. Psalm 139, verse 23, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let God try our thoughts. Let God tell us if we're thinking things that we shouldn't be thinking. Proverbs 16:3, Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit ourselves to God. Well, God has thoughts also. Isaiah 55:7-9, Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways are way higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. They're beyond us. We can't fathom. We can't nearly understand them all. Jeremiah 29:11, comforting verse, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Well, Jesus said in Luke 12:22, And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Jesus was telling them to not be anxious, to not worry, to not worry about life, to not worry about the things of life, because God is taking care of us. And that's one thing that can help if we can come to that realization that God is taking care of us. It'll help us. Well, sometimes we fail to grow up in our thinking. 1 Corinthians 13:11, When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. We need to grow up in our thinking. As we get older, we need to grow up. We can't think childish thoughts. God judges our thoughts. He does. Jeremiah 6:19, Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. God was bringing evil on the people here because of the fruit of their thoughts. Jesus also said, But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Warning against what we allow in our hearts, because that does affect our life. That guides our life, what we allow our hearts to think on. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." The thinking is what drives our life. They that will be rich, they want to be. Well, what problems do our thoughts get us into? It can lead to hatred, anger, greed, jealousy, lust, covetousness. Romans 12, verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto you, unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." He's telling us not to think more of ourselves than we should, but to think soberly. Several verses in closing. Again, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And Hebrews 4, 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Isaiah 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And yet one from Malachi 3:16, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." May God bless.